Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. And thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose that God has for us. In this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith, encouraged in that process and the word and the will of God, and understand how God has caused your life to be purposeful for his glory, allowed you to be intentional, that you're not a mistake, that he intended you before the foundations of the earth, and that he has a plan that is greater than anything that ever occurred in your life, your failures, or anything that the enemy could ever do, that the will of God for your life is going to take you to a place where victory is going to be won, God is going to be glorified, and many lives are going to be touched because you are the salt, the light, the city that sits on a hill that draws people by the love and the compassion of God, by the authority of God, the power of God, the influence of God, and they are blessed because of you, because of your life. We've been looking in the book of Proverbs, studying that book, and we're going back to get more wisdom. This book was written by Solomon. God downloaded his wisdom because Solomon wanted to know how to lead God's people. And so God gave him his wisdom, and that wisdom was written for us so that we would be skilled and know how to act in every situation. As I've said many times, we've not always known how to act in current situations. We've not known how to solve problems the correct way, communicate the right way, deal with issues the right way. Some of our relationships have not been very good because of not having the wisdom that we needed, but we have that ability to gain and grab and birth out that wisdom and walk and live in that wisdom because God has provided it for us so that we will be skilled and know how to act in every situation, showing him, showing his wisdom, showing his mind, his heart, and not our flesh. So we're going to go back there. We stopped yesterday dealing with discipline, and we're going to go back there. And we said yesterday that, you know, in the household, the role of the mother and the father, and we understand how God has put them there for a certain reason to show order. God is a God of order, and the father is the head, and God holds him responsible to be a kingdom man and to walk in the kingdom principles and to show and demonstrate and teach those principles to his family, especially his children, and to be that the demonstration of God's love, compassion, power, glory in the earth so that their children in that household would be able to follow an example of a man who lives the way that God wants them to in every area. The mother is the same. She's supposed to, with the father, rear the children, and they're supposed to be on the same page about godly principles, righteous principles, how to rear the children and how to handle them in wisdom. Our culture today is different than the culture that many of us was raised in, grew up in, especially the baby boomer generation. We are so much different than the millennial generation today. And so how we raise our children in the culture today is different, but the word of God is still the same. And we are to use the word and the wisdom of the word on how to discipline and how to give them what they need in balance. And when we say discipline, many people are against discipline, but the Bible speaks about discipline. And the Bible lets us know that even God chastises us because he loves us. So he doesn't abuse us. God doesn't abuse, and that's the difference. There are people who abuse, and they don't understand the difference between discipline and abuse. And because of that, there have been many people who feel like there should be no discipline. But without any discipline, you have children that are unruly, who become adults who are unruly, who will not submit to authority, who will not listen to guidance or wisdom, and they live their life recklessly their way. And in the process of them living that way, many people are damaged or hurt or injured by their actions, their words, their deeds. So God has given us wisdom to know that our discipline has to be godly, righteous, and not abusive. It has to be balanced because sometimes discipline can be talking. It doesn't necessarily have to be the action. God can discipline us, and he can say something to us that will change the direction of our life because of what he spoke to us, because of what he said to us. So it is with our discipline. Our discipline has to have a balance. There's a time when we need to spank, but then there's a time that we need to talk, or we need to take away privileges. There has to be some sort of established discipline to let the children know that if your actions, there's our consequences, whether they're good or bad. That is the same thing with us in society today. If you break the law, your actions are going to bring consequences, and you have to live by those consequences that you brought. And so it is, if we rear our children in the balance of what God says, we're going to see that our lives, their lives, are going to be better. And the Word lets us understand that and know that when we train our children in the way that is godly. There have been so many people who've taken discipline to the wrong levels, and you have to understand, sometimes it is their rearing, their upbringing. It's what you are a product of your environment. And if your environment was toxic, you're going to produce something that is toxic. If your environment was healthy and balanced and whole, that's what you're going to produce. You can't go to the left or to the right in this. You have to stay in the middle of the road, and it has to be balanced. It has to be a balance on it. And we have to seek God, because every child is different. There's some children, talking to them, I had four boys, talking to two of them, telling them, I'm disappointed in your actions, was enough for them. It brought them to tears. It made them change. And then I had two that you could talk to them, and they would just daydream, and they were not hearing anything that you were saying. But the moment that I was going to take privileges or they were going to get a spanking, I got their attention. You know, it depends on the children and the character of the children. And also you have to balance it with the things that they're going through, but it has to be godly and righteous balance for your life and for how you rear them. Their father and I had different views on discipline, and mine was because of the way I was raised. My parents had eight children, and my mother was a talker, and she would talk to you, and the talk itself would make you change your mind about everything. My father was whenever he did spank, it was because he's already warned you several times, and you kept doing what you wanted to do. Where my children's father, my ex-husband, was totally different. It was just totally different. So we had to balance that discipline out so that the children themselves will understand how they are supposed to be raised. Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure or right. So we know our children. Children are born with their own personalities, and they form personalities, and they form very quickly. They form traits from the womb and out of the womb. The first few months, they're developing their personality. And as they grow from toddler stage, they're still developing their personality. All the way up until teen years, they're developing who they are. And so when you know your child and you know can see who they are and who they're developing into, it helps you when you're disciplining them. It helps you to know what's best for them, and it helps you to guide them in the place where they should be. There's no parent in the world who doesn't want to be proud of their child. So when we know our children and we apply the right discipline, we get the right results. That doesn't mean it's always going to happen that way, because sometimes you can rear your children godly and they still make ungodly choices. But if you put that word in them, they'll come back. The Lord says it in his word. They'll come back. Now, sometimes it takes a while for them to do that, but they do. And you got to trust that what you say and what you pray and what you put into them is good. And even if you've made mistakes, because if you're a parent, you will make mistakes. You're not perfect. And we do make wrong decisions, but God is merciful and graceful, and he's able to cause that to even work for our good in that. You have to be able to do that. I remember, as I grew, I was a young mother, and as I grew as a mother and I developed and I saw that some things that my parents taught me were not right that I did for my children, I sat them down and apologized to them, and I told them, I said, I'm sorry if I've made mistakes. I'm sorry if I've said or done something that hurt you and damaged your heart and made you not understand. There's not a book on parenting that will help me through every situation, and I'm sorry. And my boys were looking at me like, Mom, you okay? Everything's good. But I wanted them to know that there's nothing that I would ever do to try to cause them injury. I only wanted the best for them. And so, you know, that's part of being transparent as a parent and let them understand that sometimes I might not know everything, but I'm striving to do what I need to make you be the best, to help you to be the best that you can be. So that's part of being a parent that is able to be balanced and wise enough to know I can say I'm sorry when I make a mistake. Okay? And you're training them. You're teaching them as you're doing that. God intended our children to be raised by parents that love them, not parents that are there sometime, but parents that love them and that can support them and give them what they need, unrestrained supervision that's unrestrained and love that's unrestrained. And he wants us to do that. And we can look at the Bible and see that there are places and people in the Bible who did not do that. In the book of Samuel, we'll see that Eli did not rear his children in the right way, and it cost them because these men did what they wanted, and he did not give them the same principles of what he was teaching everyone else. So we have to make sure that what we tell everyone else, we're doing ourselves, that we're living ourselves, and we're training our children in the same manner so that we will be able to see the fruit of righteousness in them. Proverbs 19 and 18 said, discipline your son, for in it there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. In other words, don't allow him to not get the things that he needs or she needs that will cause them to have a death in their life. And death doesn't necessarily mean them leaving here. It could be death in character form or integrity or in values or morals, that something dies that God never intended because they did not get the right discipline that they needed, that they didn't get right wisdom, that something did not develop in them properly. You can grow and become an adult and miss things in your life growing up that was necessary for your next step. It doesn't stop you from becoming an adult, but it stops you in places where you need it the most. But God is so merciful. Even if we missed it, he allows us to get it again. As we adults, he'll bring it back. He'll bring it back, especially if you're his. He'll bring that back to you. He'll find a way to either show you, teach you, or allow somebody to mentor you or help you in that area where you missed something that is necessary to help you develop fully in areas where you need it. And that's how good he is. That's how great God is in his love for us. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25 says, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He will have a wise son delighting in him. May your father and your mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. And that's what every parent wants to do, rejoice over their children. Proverbs 10 and 1 says, a proverb of Solomon, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grieves to his mother. And we don't want that to happen with our children. So we need to make sure we're giving them the right wisdom, the right discipline, the right words, the right life to bring them where they need to, because they are our legacy. And we want them to be the legacy of what we're putting in them, which is righteousness. Proverbs 3, verse 1 and 2 talks about this. Proverbs 4 and 10 talks about this. And we want that legacy. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me for Favorite Life, the process of there. Hope you have a blessed and wonderful day.